So the race got its name from the Central Park jogger, Trisha Miley, when she got up the courage to reveal who she was and what the horrible tragedy that she went through, being attacked and left for dead in Central Park back in the 1980s. She used running as a tool to help her with her recovery from traumatic brain injury and other near life-threatening ailments. And Achilles was part of her recovery process.
Welcome to the I Run Because podcast. We all have a reason why we run. Each person has a unique purpose to answer their why. Your why moves you. Your why gets you across the finish line. Your why can motivate others. I Run Because seeks to inspire others by exploring the why of athletes who run for charitable organizations. I'm your host, Joe Bouchard. I have my lovely host and my guide in life, my wife, Christine.
Hello.
On this season of I Run Because, we are highlighting the running club, Achilles International, a running club that partners guides with runners of different abilities to compete in mainstream running events. While Achilles' focus is on running, the truth is, running is simply the tool for accomplishing their main objective, to bring hope, inspiration, and the joys of achievement for all. Tonight, we're really excited to have Michael Anderson, chapter leader from New York City, with us tonight. Woo-hoo. Hi, Michael. How you doing?
Hi, Joe and Christine. Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Good. We're so glad to have you. So before we get into it, I just want to say, if anybody's ever run the New York City Marathon, you've run past Michael as you come into Long Island City. He is a breath of fresh air coming over that bridge at the halfway point. Michael with the Achilles cheering squad, get you through the second half.
It's a great halfway point.
Oh, thank you both. And I'm really happy that that is now what I'm associated with in the New York City Marathon. For years, it was always, hey, how come you're not running? How come you're not running? I love running the New York City Marathon, but I also love not running and being out there either as a supporter cheering people on, or in this case, manning the halfway guide station for Achilles International.
What is that halfway guide station for people who don't know about the New York City Marathon?
The purpose of it is twofold, and it's a little deceiving. It's actually a little past the halfway point. It's at mile 13.6. The purpose is for circumstances in which a runner has requested that a guide take over for the second half. So one guide will depart at mile 13.6 and a fresh guide will join them. It usually results because either A, the runner is so fast that they're somewhere in that, you know, sub 3 hour range that it's hard to find a guide to run the entire marathon with them, or perhaps their guide became injured during the course of the training and the roadrunners approved them to swap them out. The other purpose is injuries do happen during marathons. That's what happens when you have 55,000 people running. So the roadrunners have been kind enough to allow us to have a handful of emergency backup guides in case an Achilles runner and their guide get to the halfway point and they say, oh my gosh, my guide is in so much pain right now. Can I please have a fresh guide? So that's what I do. It's a great place to, it's a great race day assignment. It's a great place to be. I get to cheer people on when they are at their most fresh. I usually have Larry Sillin, our official photographer, joining me there. The police department are wonderful to work with. It's a joy on what is already an amazing day.
Just a fast story. Do you remember me there, Michael, when we were with Barbara Brown? And I remember you, I didn't know what to do. It was my first year guiding the New York City Marathon and Barbara was having some difficulties. And I looked at you, I said, she kept saying she wanted to not finish. And I didn't know what my role was. Do I encourage her to keep going? And I remember you said to me, you listen to your athlete, whatever she wants to do, she knows her body. And I was like, okay, because all along I'm like, no, we can keep going. And I just didn't know my role. And I remember that's when you came running over the bridge and you caught us. Yes. I remember those are your words and it was helpful. And then she was like, I think I could do it. And then we're like, okay, let's keep going.
I remember that well. Barbara was one of the last athletes I was tracking and she had a number of challenges that summer that kept her from getting her proper training in between injuries and job loss and other things. And it was just a tough year for Barbara, but I gave her the out. I said, hey, Barbie, if you don't want to run, we'll understand, we'll support you in a future year. And she said, I'm doing this. As long as I can stand on 2 feet, I am running this marathon. Yes.
And we finished. But I just didn't know my role. Like I kept saying to her, because she said, I'm done at the halfway point. I'm going to, you know, bail out. And I'm like, am I supposed to be supportive and say, no, keep going? And I remember I looked at you and I said, I don't know what to do. And you said, she knows what she needs to do. And it worked out.
And the two of you found that right balance together between guide and athlete. I suggested to Barbara, make it over to 59th Street Bridge and see how you feel. If you drop out, you drop out. You're not the first athlete, professional or otherwise. And something took over in those last 10 miles because she, darn it, she finished.
That's why she has the nickname Never Quit Barbara Brown, because she just was not going to quit. So it was a great day. It was a great day.
Love it.
Michael, before we get into your role with Achilles and how long you've been with the organization, I just want to go back a little bit because I know you're quite an accomplished runner. Like you've got some serious times underneath your belt. So did you start in high school, just college, or if you want to just share with us how you got into running?
Sure, Joe. And thank you for those kind words. The funny thing is I was not a good runner in high school. Wrestling was my main sport. My oldest brother was a wrestler. I was a wrestler and I would struggle to get through the practices. And I had a tough high school wrestling coach who would make us run before practice. And what would happen was the run would be complete and I would find myself winded and struggling to get through the drills in wrestling practice. My closest friend at the high school was a gentleman by the name of Damian O'Connor. We met through the youth group, really great guy. He was the captain of the cross country team and a very good runner. Very accomplished. He won the Rochester City Catholic Championships 2 years in a row. So I was telling Damian about my struggles and he said, I think you should join the track team. I said, are you crazy? But he talked me into it. I joined the track team and I was not very good. I think I was the worst person. I was the slowest runner on the team. But so that didn't go too well. So then Damian said, I got another idea. You should join cross country. And I said, are you crazy? I trained all summer with a good friend of mine named Michael King, who was my neighbor. He was going to run for a rival school. And lo and behold, I ended up really loving cross country. Something about getting out in the trails and the outdoors, I just really enjoyed. And I managed to run injury free. And I even ended up making the varsity by the end of my junior year. So I went from hating running to being, oh my gosh, this is awesome. I love the camaraderie of the teammates and the whole concept of cross country races. And that's how I started. But like a lot of folks, you know, life gets in the way. I started college a couple years later and running fell by the wayside and did for nearly 10 years or so. So I took quite a long break from running, actually.
And then you got back into it, I guess. How did you get back into running?
Well, like a lot of things with running, it comes down to the New York City Marathon. I kept trying to get back into it. I would do it what a lot of people do. And this is anyone listening, it's a mistake to set a New Year's resolution to start.
What? The weight that I'm always supposed to lose. You know, as a teacher, my New Year's is always after Labor Day, truthfully. I make all these resolutions like September, like I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to be the best teacher ever.
Yeah, that's a great time of year to do it. I would do it every year. I'd buy a new pair of sneakers. I'd say, I'm going to start running. And I'd run in the freezing cold. I lived in a couple years in Westchester. And then I moved to New York City. I was living in Manhattan. Same thing would happen every year. It'd be January. I'd get out for three or four runs. It would be freezing. I would get discouraged when it wasn't going well. I wasn't running my 5K time from 10 years earlier. And those sneakers would sit in the closet for a year. So it was a big mistake. However, what really helped was some really good friends of mine were training for the New York City Marathon and watching them train and then cheering them on race day. That just gave me the push I needed to get back into running. Now, mind you, I didn't say, oh, I'm going to go run a marathon. I just said, I want to get back to being able to running a 5K, maybe even a 5-miler. And that was what really helped, was watching the New York City Marathon. I believe the year was 1999. And I just watching runners from all over the world and seeing what a difference the fans and spectators made, that got me excited about running again. And that's when it really started to stick.
That's great. And then you were running on your own, or did you run with a group in New York City?
I was mostly running on my own, occasionally with my roommates, occasionally with friends. A good friend of mine, his name is Kevin White. He and I were working catering gigs together at the time. He was looking to make a career change, and he was about to join the New York City Fire Department, where he's now been for nearly 20 years. He's a captain now. He's the one that really pushed me, and he knew that I could become a good runner. And it was great to have that friendship and that rivalry with Kevin. So he would push me. He'd say, I know you're better than this. And when I started running, you know, times that I was happy with, Kevin would then push me and go, you know what? I think you're ready to try a 10K. And then eventually it was, I think you're ready for the marathon. So I'd run with Kevin and other friends. Sometimes I'd run, you know, Nike had a free running group. I'd run with them once in a while. But I wasn't really consistent about running with a group at the time until later in my life in 2012 when I moved to Hoboken, moved out of Manhattan after 14 years, moved to Hoboken and joined the Hoboken Harriers. And that's when I started running with the group. And what a difference that made to run consistently with a great group of people. You know, 4 days a week, marathon training with them, really pushing each other. And that's when I really started to improve even more as a runner.
And then was it that year that you ran the New York City Marathon in 2012, or was it after that?
Oh, no. I was fortunate to have a few marathons under my belt by that point through either winging it, getting advice from friends, reading a lot of Runner's World, reading tips online. I actually ran my first marathon in 2002. It was the Chicago Marathon. I didn't get into the New York City Marathon drawing, so I decided to go for Chicago. And I set a goal of getting under 3.5 hours. And there were no, I didn't even bring a stopwatch with me when I went to Chicago. I certainly didn't have a GPS watch. I was just kind of winging it based on what I thought my start time was. And darn it, I got it by 7 seconds. I broke 3.5 hours.
Hey. No way. Oh my gosh.
So I set out to run the New York City Marathon the next year. And that was, and that went okay. I improved my time by a few minutes. And it was right around that time that I learned about this thing called the Boston Marathon that you had to qualify for. And that kind of became, like a lot of runners, that became an obsession. I got to get into Boston. And first try came up pretty short. Second try, I only missed out on Boston by 51 seconds. So I knew I was getting close.
My
yeah, it was at the Buffalo Marathon. Oh, it was so close. I had perfect weather. It just didn't quite work out. And unfortunately, what followed was a string of injuries and disappointments for a few years. And well, like most runners, we persevere and we stick it out. And I eventually qualified and ran my first Boston in 2009. And it went pretty well, but I knew I could do better. So I went back in 2010 and improved my time by, I think, like 4 minutes. And I just had so much fun. So I went back again and did it in 2011. Next thing you know, I had a pretty good streak going, and I've gone through some amazing times at Boston. There was the year that it was 90 degrees. I still managed to finish. There was the sad tragedy of the bombing the following year. I was fortunately, my friends, my girlfriend, now wife, and I were all safe.
Did you run it that year?
I did run it. I've run it actually every year since 2009. So I now have a streak of 11 consecutive years at the Boston Marathon.
You know, Michael, when I look at the times, when I'm 85, if I keep my pace right now, I might have a chance.
And that's all the motivation you need.
I've come to the conclusion that it's never going to happen. So now I'm just really focused on going there and cheering people on. So awesome. This year, I know one of our athletes, Brandon, was going to do it. And Joe and I were going to go by Copley Plaza and hang out there and cheer him on. So I've lost the drive to actually qualify for that. But I'm in awe of anybody that does. Like,
well, listen, now that, you know, this is why I love this podcast, is because we get to learn stuff about people that we just never knew. So Michael, I can't believe that you've qualified for Boston 11 years in a row. So chances are we can go to Boston just about any year, Chris, and we can watch Michael.
We could see. At least I'll know somebody to wave to as he runs past me.
That is quite an accomplishment.
If Michael wants to wait around until I'm 82, he might be able to cheer me
on. Let's do
this. If I keep the same pace as of right now.
That is quite an accomplishment. You know, Michael, like I said, I knew you had a lot of hardware underneath your belt, but I didn't realize 11 years of running Boston. That is, man, that's something to be proud of. That really is.
Absolutely.
Thank you. It would have been 12. It would have been number 12 this year if not for the cancellation.
Well, there's always next year. It's always that's next year. That's great. So, okay. So then how did you get affiliated with Achilles? So when did that come about and what light bulb went on to say, hey, this is the group?
Like yourself and a lot of others, the first time that I witnessed the power of Achilles at a race. Yeah, you're right. It was like a light bulb went off. And I'm having trouble remembering which race or which marathon it was, but I certainly remember running my first New York City marathon, and it wasn't going as well as I'd hoped. I was off my goal of qualifying for Boston. And yeah, the thought of quitting did start to settle in. And I remember passing some Achilles athletes and just saying, wow, the thought. And then the thought of dropping out just basically went out of my head, particularly when I came across Bill Riley, who many of you know as Backwards Bill, the guy who kicks himself backwards in a racing chair the entire way. Yeah, Bill's incredible. So I remember approaching and passing Bill and basically that the pain and the cramps suddenly didn't feel as bad as I knew that they were. And the thought of dropping out completely exited my head. And that's when I just became the biggest fan of Achilles and was so proud to be a runner and to you know, be in the know to shout go Achilles when you either got passed or passed by somebody or if you're just out cheering. So that was, you know, probably early 2000s, 2003 or so when I learned about Achilles. And I was working, so this goes back about 4 years ago. I was working as a contractor at the Google New York City campus. And one of my coworkers, he's a coach by the name of Raj Hathrimani. He had been a guide with Achilles probably at that point, 6 or 7 times at the New York City Marathon and joining the crew on Saturday workouts from time to time. And Raj and another Google runner named Brian Murphy, both of them incredible runners, they would just keep gushing about Achilles, and they were more proud of their service as guides than they were of any other accomplishments. And these two, I have to tell you, are pretty incredible athletes. So I said, you know what, this is my next goal. So for 2017, even though I had a time qualifier for the New York City Marathon, I ignored the email from the Roadrunners. And I said, what I want to do is I want to be a guide at the 2017 New York City Marathon for Achilles. And this is going to be probably one of the greatest things that's ever happened to me. What happens is life gets in the way sometimes. I ended up losing my job at the end of 2016. And, you know, in hindsight, I realized what I should have done is I should have thrown myself into volunteering. I said, no, I need to get a job first. When I get a job, I'm going to start volunteering with Achilles. So I was on the job hunt, and I had the information on how to get involved as a volunteer bookmarked. And I said, you know, this is going to happen. Let me just get my job situation, you know, set up first. Well, I came back from what was a string of many bad job interviews. This particular one was on a Friday in March of 2017. It was cold. It was rainy. It was miserable. And I said, I didn't even want that job. And it stunk. So I came in, poured myself a coffee, decided to go back to the job search. And I said, you know, let me take a quick little social media break here first before I do. And that was when I noticed that there was a listing on social media for a position with Achilles International. So I said, all right, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I have to have this job. This brings together my love of running, of encouraging runners of all levels. This is going to be my new goal in life. I had been coaching runners while at Google, and I said, I'm going to put my effort into this. So I immediately got on the phone with one of my closest friends. His name is Terrence Gertzberg. He was at the time the executive director of Back on My Feet, and he was a good friend of Toby Tanzer, the person who put up the job post. Toby, for those of you who don't know, not only an amazing and accomplished runner, he for many years was the race director for the Achilles Hope and Possibility race in Central Park. Well, wouldn't you know, a week later, I'm sitting in Dick Traum's office, the founder of Achilles, getting interviewed by he and Toby, and then meeting the rest of the staff, Ellie Cox, Janet Patton, Joe Traum, Gurley Shagdar. And I was just amazed. And I was Karen Lewis from Achilles Kids. I knew that I knew right away that if they would have me, that I found my new family. And while I didn't get to run in the New York City Marathon as a guide in 2017, and I still haven't, I'm happy to say that I found my dream job.
I like the post that you have. If I have the privilege of doing it again, I like seeing you. It's a great halfway point.
Thank
That's
you.
That's great, though. So how cool fun. Is that? That, you know, you wanted to, that was a year that you really wanted to say, all right, I'm going to guide with the Achilles. And then here you end up working with them, which is even better. That's awesome. See, I didn't know that.
Yeah, thank you. It's kind of funny. People ask me, how'd you get involved with Achilles? And I say, well, yeah, I took the reverse route. Usually you're a guide first, but it all came together at once.
That's great. So now, as a New York City chapter director, well, you know what? Let me just go back one second, because while we're on the topic of running and how you got into running. So this podcast is, you know, we're exploring the reason why people run. So Why do you run, Michael?
That's a question I don't get asked a lot, and it's a good one. I mean, I run obviously because I love running. For me, why do I love running? Why do I run? I think we have to go back a couple decades, and this was in the late 90s. My father had passed away. He had, after a battle with cancer. And I was going through a tough time in life. I was struggling with grief and depression. I was making some bad decisions, both personally and professionally. I was using alcohol to self-medicate, and it was a really bad time. And the one thing that I found was helping me to make healthy choices and make healthy decisions was running and having a goal as a runner. So, you know, it meant saying, I'm not going out tonight. I'm not staying out late tonight because I know I have an important run in the morning, or I have a race coming up and I really want to beat my time from the last one. And what I found was it was bringing me joy. It was bringing me happiness. It was bringing me in touch with people who I admired and cared about. And I was forming new friendships, many of which I still have to this day. In fact, I met my wife through running. She and I met through the Hoboken Harriers back in 2012. We both joined because, you know, we were looking to run with a group and meet other like-minded people. And, well, lucky for me, we both showed up on the same night, got into a great conversation, and the rest is history.
Oh, that's great. That's great. You know, it's so true, Michael. Like, I know I was a runner younger in my age, in my, you know, in high school, and then life got in the way and I had stopped. And Christine,
I'm part of that reason why he stopped. But then I brought him back.
Yes. Yeah. You know, one day we were sitting on the couch, probably watching American Idol or something like that. And my wife looks at me and goes, I'm going to start running. I said, good for you. That's great. You know? And she started running, and you were running for quite a few years, and then you made it a goal to run the New York City Marathon, which is how you ended up running into Achilles.
And I too saw backwards Bill, and he's the reason why I wear yellow now.
Yeah.
And then I dragged Joe into it. So it's, you know, it's all good.
Yeah.
Wow, Bill's the reason so many of us ended up.
You know, I saw it on the bridge, and I remember I remember being in awe, and I didn't know anything about Achilles. And then I came home and investigated it, and I told my husband, I said, "Well, the next time I run any race, it's going to be with the group." And it's because of the yellow shirt that really. And I remember he had balloons, or somebody was carrying balloons. I mean, there was just, and I remember stopping. Well. Because I had to stop because I was exhausted. And I remember I was walking alongside them and I'm like, you guys are great. And it was just a great moment.
I remember you coming home telling me about that. There was this guy in a wheelchair. He was going backwards.
Yeah.
It's part of this group. We got to find out what this group is about. And well, like you said, the rest is history. Here we are doing a podcast about Achilles and running with Achilles and part of this amazing organization.
Yeah, it really is.
And meeting amazing people like you, Michael.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
So now you run the New York City chapter. And
are you bummed about the New York City Marathon?
I'm as bummed as anybody else. But I know that we're going to make the most of this, whether we get together and do it as a virtual run or we do some kind of crazy relay event. We're going to make this happen. And at Achilles, we adapt and we overcome. And that's what we're going to do. And just wait until 2021. It's going to be an incredible year.
Looking forward to it because I'm done with 2020. Yeah. I mean, I'm done.
I hear you.
I'm hoping somebody needs me for 2021.
Let's hope so.
I'm hoping.
So if you don't mind, why don't you tell us a little bit about the New York City chapter? Because tell us some of the things that you were doing prior to COVID and then some of the things that you've been doing during quarantine, because as many of the listeners know, New York, New Jersey were probably the two toughest hit areas in the country. So we've been affected much, much harder than a lot of the other areas of the country. So what were you guys doing prior to? What were some of the workouts that you guys were doing?
So a little about the New York City chapter. We meet twice a week, Tuesdays. We had been meeting twice a week, Tuesdays at 6 p.m., Saturdays at 10 a.m., anywhere from, on the nicer days up to 40, 45 walkers and runners with disabilities, another 8 to 10 hand cyclists on good weather days, and then, another 65 or so amazing guides out there providing support. So while many of our runners were training for races like the New York City Half, the Brooklyn Half, the Boston Marathon, starting to have an eye towards the triathlon season, many of our runners and walkers are just out there because they just love the fresh air and the exercise and especially the community aspect of it. So yeah, we had probably around 35 athletes that were going to do the New York City Half. I was coaching several runners myself. I was coaching Hannah Gavios, who was going to do the race on her crutches. I was coaching Mel Bloom, who is a visually impaired runner. Erwin Ramirez, who is the head of the DC chapter. He's a blind runner. And I was just so incredibly hopeful because each of these runners were meeting and exceeding their goals. And the chapter was doing great, helped by some wonderful volunteers like Rebecca Lindenbaum and Coach Anthony Bonamassa. We were just doing such amazing things. And of course, COVID-19 hit it all. It started with the cancellation of the New York City Half, sadly. And I was going to be a guide at the half too. I was so bummed. This wonderful new-ish runner, very fast runner named Bo Barley. I was going to guide him, Terrence actually, from Back on My Feet. And I were going to be his two guides. And what a bummer.
Man.
But like I said earlier,
it is really a bummer. Was a bummer. Like, no. I know my husband was working with two of our twin athletes and they got so far. Like they started off not even being able to run a mile and just they got them to the point where they were ready for this half marathon and it hurt.
That's part of the journey too. You know, Michael, like as a guide, like when you see athletes progressing each week and you become so vested in
their
seeing
success.
Them succeed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like I wasn't running. I mean, I was running a New York City half marathon as a guide, but I was so excited for the two athletes that we were going to be running with. And, when I found out it was canceled, I was just so bummed, so bummed for them because they put the time in.
Yep.
They were ready for it. And I just wanted to see them cross the finish line
next year.
Yep, I agree. I had to immediately take the emotion out of it and function as the chapter director, as disappointed as I was and Bo and Terrence were. You know, luckily Bo had a great spirit about it. He was a medical doctor before becoming blind, so he understood why it was canceled and why it was necessary. But like I said earlier, at Achilles, we adapt, we overcome. And I huddled immediately with our CEO, Emily Glasser, and with the director of our TRI program, Francesco Magisano. Francesco, for those of you who don't know, blind athlete, triathlete, amazing athlete. We got together and said, all right, we can't get together as a group. Let's figure out a way to keep the community connected through relationships and through fitness. And the first thing was a no-brainer. Let's continue to meet Tuesday nights with virtual hangouts on Google Meet at 6 o'clock when we'd normally be in Central Park together, which we're still doing. And we will until it is safe for us to get together. We do a different theme every week. We've done dance parties. We've done tell us about your first experience with Achilles. Tell us about your favorite race. Hannah is going to, Agavios is going to teach a yoga class coming up. It's, you know, it's a lot of fun. And I love what the New Jersey chapter has been doing as well, Brooklyn and others. So we're not the only ones. All the chapters are finding ways to connect. Now, when it comes to the fitness aspect of it, obviously still very important to our mission. So Francesco and I foolishly thought, oh, I bet there's some great videos out there for people who are blind who want to do yoga and get in shape. And well, aside from one or two, we found almost none. So we said, okay, I think this is on us. So Francesco and I started getting together and deciding on different exercises that would highlight cardio, strength, core. And he would create the videos from the perspective of a blind person. And he and I would decide on the workouts together. And I'd get them posted out to social media, out to our mailing list. So other organizations started doing the same thing as us who work with athletes with disabilities. But I'm proud to say that we at Achilles were once again the trailblazers. And we were one of the first to get our content, original content out there. And it's been great. So it's been content for the, you know, with the blind athlete in mind, with those with upper and lower body impairments in mind. And we just kept cranking out content, sometimes borrowing from other organizations like Dare to Try, sometimes posting our own. And that's been a great way for us to stay connected. And even now, Francesco and I are presently hosting live Saturday workouts, which has been a lot of fun. So 10 a.m. instead of being in the park, I'm in my living room, he's in his living room, and we're walking everyone through different exercises with variations, and we're doing that for now. I know New York City is in phase two, but it's just too soon. We really want to wait until we know that it is completely safe for our athletes to get together and for us to be inclusive of having everyone out there, and I really hope that's soon. I'm sure you guys do too.
But that's great. That sounds like some fantastic activities for your members and actually members at large. You know,
sure, members, yeah, all chapter members.
That's the thing. I think during this time, it's just so important to stay connected. And you're right. You know, one of the things that we did, I think it was probably Chrissy and I are our favorite. We were doing Zoom meetings and we did a medal and tell, and people had to bring out their favorite race medal, and. Mm-hmm. It was so much fun, and we were everybody.
It gave me a new list of races. Oh, like, yeah. I was like, oh, where'd you get that medal from?
Yeah. That was probably one of our favorite Zoom meetings with our New Jersey chapter. You're right. Like, we have a whole list of new races that we have to do because of the medals.
Oh, that's so fun. Yeah. I joined the Boston chapter one night. It was like, wear your favorite race shirt. And I learned about some new races. And for one of ours, I think it was when the Brooklyn Half was officially canceled, I said, we all know Central Park and Hope and Possibility, but tell us about your favorite experience that did not take place in Central Park. Let's get out of the park for a minute. And I learned about some great races. Yeah. It's been really fun in many ways.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, soon we're going to get together. It's going to be, and when it does, you know what? I'm so excited to see our athletes, see our guides, because I got to tell you, I miss them. Yes. I mean, you know, we call them Achilles family for a reason, and it's because we get so vested in their lives and their stories and their success. And I miss our Achilles family. I'm looking forward to seeing them again.
It was a good 2 weeks. 2 weeks, I was like, oh, okay, I don't have to run. Like, I took advantage of the extra wine on the couch. And then after a while, I was like, oh, like, I started feeling it. I want to say a good 3 weeks. And then I said, oh, I need to get out of this house and, like, exercise. But I had, like, I took advantage of the quarantine for a little bit. And now we're back. Right, Joe? We're back.
Yeah. Well, see, I was holding on hope, Michael, because I was registered for Ironman 70.3 in Maine, and I was still training for it, and it just got canceled on Friday, and I was like,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was the nail in the coffin. I'm like, oh, man.
I'm still keeping my fingers crossed for Chicago, but I don't know. That's why I'm, you know what? I need it, though. That's what's getting me out right now is because it hasn't been canceled. So it's good and it's bad. It's the reason why I'm moving, because it's not canceled yet.
Yeah, she's supposed to go out there with the Daredevil and Jamie.
Oh, that would be amazing if it happened. Let's hope for a miracle.
We will hope for a miracle. But you know, as of right now, I'm like Joseph. Until you officially cancel it, I'm still going. I'm still moving.
That's right. And what I have done with the Boston Marathon now officially canceled. Initially, I said, who wants to do a virtual marathon? Not me. But wouldn't you know, my local running club, the Hoboken Harriers, a few of them were supposed to do it. And they said, let's do this. Let's have a water station. Let's do a virtual Boston Marathon on September 12th. And that kind of changed my attitude. That was a little boost that I needed. So I reached out to my two chapter athletes that were set to run, Mauricio Blandino and Melissa Bloom. And I said, all right, team, I think I've changed my mind on this. Let's do a virtual Boston Marathon on September 12th, and they're going to come out to Hoboken and join me. And it's going to be great. And we want to find some way to make this a chance to raise awareness for Achilles and a fundraising opportunity. Because while there are so many necessary and needed COVID-19 charities that we all rightfully should be supporting, you know, it's a good time to remind people that the athletes we serve are rather underserved and underfunded. And it's important that we keep all of these charities in mind when we're considering what we might be able to give.
It's true.
Did you say September 12th? I just wrote it down on my little piece of paper because we're going to have to go down to Hoboken and cheer you on.
Oh, come on out. It's going to be a fun time.
Done. I'm going down there with the cowbell. I got it. We'll be down there.
I love it.
You know, it's true, though. The virtuals, even when they first, I'm like, I'm not running a virtual. And then it really, I needed to get out of my house. And right next to my husband is a how many are there, Joe?
1, 2, 3, 7.
Seven virtual runs we signed up for because it just, it got us out of the house.
One of them is the Achilles virtual hope and possibility race.
It's already in the queue.
We've got a couple other virtual races that we have to run before that, but that's definitely in the queue. So
definitely
funny you should bring that up. So why don't you tell us, by the time this airs, the Hope and Possibility race will have passed, but why don't you tell us a little bit about the Hope and Possibility race for the New York chapter?
Sure thing. So the race got its name from the Central Park jogger, Trisha Miley, when she got up the courage to reveal who she was and what the horrible tragedy that she went through, being attacked and left for dead in Central Park back in the 1980s. She used running as a tool to help her with her recovery from a traumatic brain injury and other near life-threatening ailments. And Achilles was part of her recovery process. So when she wrote her book, I Am the Central Park Jogger, A Story of Hope and Possibility, that's when Achilles decided to put together this amazing race that has been happening since the early 2000s. And every year brings together people with and without disabilities in a mainstreaming fashion. And it's the biggest race of its kind that does so. And it's such an incredible day every year in Central Park. And so, of course, the race was canceled, but we didn't let that get us down. We approached our sponsor, TD Bank, and said, we still want to do this if you do. And they said, let's make this happen. And Jenna Griffith, my coworker, and I, we just sat down and we hammered out a plan. We're gonna have the race timing company Elite Feats help us produce this. And boom, here it is, the virtual Hope and Possibility 5K. And then we decided, let's add a 10 miler. Let's add a tandem bike. Let's have fun with this. Anyone can do it. I have people signed up from Japan, from Peru, from Boston, Nashville. That's what's really cool about a virtual race. So,
and you know what? People want them. Like I said, in the very beginning, I'm like, nah, I'm going to hold out. Now people want to go out and run, you know? So like it's the option now. No one wanted to learn from home, but virtual learning happened. And now no one wants to run virtual running is the thing right now. People want to get out and run, and it gives them a reason and a purpose to.
Exactly.
We have to give a big shout out. You're right, to TD Bank for being the title sponsor and not pulling out when I think they could have easily pulled out, but to still sponsor the New York City chapter Hope and Possibility race. What a fantastic job for TD Bank, you know, coming through with that. And just like U-Haul is the title sponsor for the Hope and Possibility New Jersey race. They have great partners to be part of and of our fantastic organization.
Yeah, we're very lucky to have both of their supports, both U-Haul and TD, and that's what I love. It's a partnership, it's a collaboration. Many of their employees are guides, and they get our mission, and that's what's so much fun about this. I'm really excited that this is happening, and while I don't know if I'm going to be guiding or running solo, I've signed up for both the 5K and the 10 miler. As have so many others. So I can't wait to do the double in a week or two.
That's great. Yeah. All right. So Michael, now we're going to move to another segment of our podcast. This is where it becomes real, real tough. We're going to hit some firing line questions here.
Christine, Did you study, Michael? Oh, I don't know.
Christine has some really tough questions for you, and they're going to come at you at rapid pace.
All right. I'm nervous.
No, you should be.
It's called the finish line questions. All right, Chrissy.
Okay.
He's all yours.
Okay, number one. Michael, what is your post-race meal? What do you usually eat right after a race?
I always have a bagel. That's what they give you usually at the Roadrunners races. But when I like to sit down to a meal, like at brunch, though... Oh, man. I think my favorite is it's egg and cheese sandwich with avocado.
Yeah. Joe and I are close. What are we? Pork roll, egg and cheese.
Pork roll, egg and cheese.
Usually. All right. Yeah. Number two, your favorite distance that you run?
Half marathon.
Me too.
That's a popular one.
Yeah. And I'm always surprised because I think a lot of people want to say the marathon, but no, they have. All right. Your favorite race that you've ever run?
I'm going to say the Shelter Island 10K in Long Island.
I'm writing it down because I don't know that one. Shelter Island.
I could have said Boston. I could have said New York or Chicago.
Yeah, I was thinking
I was going to go Boston. I would have put all my chips on Boston. Sheltered.
You know, Michael, I saw you at the Spring Lake race. That's my favorite race, the Spring Lake 5-miler.
Another worthy selection.
I saw him there, yes. Really? Do you remember that, Michael? I walked over to you and said hi.
I do remember that, yes.
Yeah. I think I saw you and I'm like, I'm Christine. I'm from New Jersey. I didn't really know you then, but I saw you. Yeah, that's my favorite, the Spring Lake.
That's one of our favorites.
All right, last question. I went off topic.
Sorry.
Your favorite go-to song, something that gets you pumped up and ready to run.
This is going to be a weird one. Do you guys remember the TV show This Week in Baseball?
No.
No. You got me now, though.
Okay. The theme music from This Week in Baseball, Gathering Crowds, is the actual name
I'm
of
writing
the
it
band
down.
There.
Gathering what?
Gathering crowds.
Okay. See, I do my research after this is over. I have to look at this Shelter Island race, the 10K, and this Gathering Crowds. Okay. I learned some stuff today, Michael.
Yes. That was great. Okay. So, Michael, is there anything that we missed? Anything that you want to share with?
September 12th. I wrote that down in my notes, too. Yes.
Nice.
We got homework to do. Oh, my gosh.
I do. I keep notes.
Is there anything that we missed? Anything you want to add that we didn't ask you?
No, I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you both of you for having me. And everyone, let's just continue to be patient, because if we are patient and we do it right, then we will run again together as a team.
That's right. Soon. And it can't be soon enough, man.
Can't wait.
All right. So there you have it. On another episode of I Run Because, Michael Anderson, the New York City chapter of Achilles. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, I Run Because. Follow us on Instagram. or visit us on our website, irunbecause.net. Thank you very much, Michael. It's always great to talk to you.
Or check into New York City and you possibly guide if you need to, if you're looking to guide.
Yeah, if you're looking to guide.
Go onto the Achilles Visit our website,
Achilles International, and click on New York City chapter.
Yes, definitely. All right. Michael, thank you so much. Take care, be safe, and we hope to see you soon.
Thanks so much, Joe and Christine. Looking forward to the Achilles, New Jersey Hope and Possibility run.
Bye, Michael. Thanks for joining us.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. Time to connect with Hella and get an update on the Run Every Day Challenge.
Week 11. We're really going to really get off the gas a little bit so our body is healing properly. But getting off the gas does not mean that we're taking too many rest days, because we don't want to lose all the work that we've done up until this point. So what we're going to do is we're going to go, everything is going to be compositional pace of this week. So we're talking about 70 to 80% of the work, even the hit, if we need to do a hit in the middle of the week. So just go on a nice, easy 5K, one of the days of the 7 days of week 11. Go on a nice cruise, long cruise, conversational pace again. Slow yourself down. And for your hit day, you can take that off completely. Or if you want to do something, don't spend more than 20 to 30 minutes with the hit, and we'll pick it back up again. Go on a nice cruiser again, 5 miler. And after that, take another rest day. So try to get 2 rest days in week 11. And the last day of the week, we'll go on a nice comfortable cruise again, conversational pace, going for 7 miles or 10 miles at most. And week 12, then that's when we're going to try to push it a little bit.
Thanks everyone for listening. We really hope you enjoyed those amazing stories. They are truly inspiring people we get to talk to here and are forever grateful. Make sure to share this episode with your friends via social networks. We need these athletes and guides' stories to get out there. So until next time, I'm Joe.
And I'm Christine.
And thank you for listening.